This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Yes, it's time for Just Saying with these beautiful people, breakfast presenter. I can't say presenter. And
that's
father
right.
of four,
Sorry
Aaron Wright.
It.
Welcome.
Hello.
How are you going?
Good. Morning's presenter.
Morning's presenter and father? Mother of two.
Oh,
okay,
geez.
Colette Smart, child psychologist from Family Smart. Welcome.
Hi, Erica.
And author of parenting blog from mouthsofbabes.com. And I should say mother of two as well. I never get to say that.
Oh, that's okay.
Katrina Rowe.
I'm a mother of
three. I'm sorry, mother of three.
Is that okay. A competition?
Basically, we're all parents in this room. Doesn't mean that we're necessarily qualified except for Colette. No, okay.
But make it up as we go along.
Yeah, but that's love getting together and having a chat, because this is what people should do, is talk about these sorts of things, get them out in the open and exchange ideas. So today, it's a bit of a serious one, but at some point within our family life, there's going to come a time when we experience either a death in the family, maybe a loss of some kind, moving house, country, home, church, when the community that we are existing in is lost, something like that. But today we're going to chat about how as a family we help each other through that time, and especially, I guess, as parents in this room today, how we help our kids dealing with either grief or loss. And this morning we're going to start with Katrina, because you've had a bit of experience in this area in your family life.
Yeah, so we had a period of quite intense grief for about 3 years when I had about 5 or 6 miscarriages, and it was quite full on. And I guess what I learned through that is that learning to grieve is actually a skill, and it's a very important skill, because unexpressed grief will turn up later as depression or anger or other things. And I think in some ways we're probably better at grieving when people die as a society, because we have rituals for that.
Yes.
Whereas, and I'm really glad you mentioned all those other things, because we don't have rituals for divorce or lost friends or moving house or, you know, or miscarriages.
Yep.
So I think we sometimes need to invent our own little rituals.
Absolutely.
Like obviously we might do things like plant a tree or something to remember a pet or a lost baby, or we might, you know, burn our love letters after a breakup.
Yeah, and
teens might go through that sort of thing. Or cut our hair off, things like that. But I suppose the thing about death, though, in particular, is that it's very confronting for children, because children live in a world where anything is possible. A three-year-old can say to you, I'm going to be a fairy when I grow up.
That's right.
And death is so final. And so I found for my daughter, when our dog died, her grief was just so overwhelming that the finality of I will never see this dog again is just... It was huge. And I think, there's a lot of tears, and she cried and cried and cried and cried. But I guess in that situation, I decided after a few days to start talking about how, well, we can see Henry again in our dreams or in our mind or in our memory.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we could remember how he smelt, and we could remember how his paws sounded going up the pavement, and we could imagine him howling at her bedroom and things like that. And talked about, keeping his memory alive in our minds. And I guess I learned from that it's, you should never make light of a child's grief, whether it's over a lost teddy bear or a dead bird they walk upon in the street or something like a pet dying.
Because they're still just processing what the whole thing is about. Colette, what are your experiences?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think for children, we've got to use these experiences that come up in their lives to prepare them or help them experience what grief is, and it's their reality. And if you are perhaps not a pet lover or an animal lover, but your child is, don't minimize their grief. And I think you mentioned divorce, and that is something that I think I do need to bring up. That is a very adult decision that adults make, and I think sometimes parents can feel that their children just bounce back very quickly and get over it, and you know, their children are all fine. But children sit in my office and their world is shattered.
Yeah.
And this is not to make parents feel more guilty. That's not what I'm trying to do. All I'm asking is that parents just recognize that for their children, their world has been ripped apart.
Yep.
And they often won't express that to a parent because they know the parents are already going through pain.
Mm.
They don't want to hurt their parents' feelings.
Mm.
They often will blame themselves and think, if I was had behaved better or picked my clothes up more or whatever. But they will sit in my office and they are devastated. And parents just need to recognize that their children are going through a period of grief, and they need to acknowledge that and help them move through those periods of grief in that situation.
Absolutely. What about you, Aaron? Has there been a situation in your house?
Look, there's two responses to when someone dies. So my mum died a couple of years ago, and now we were very honest with that. We were straight up, and even to this day, talk about it, and they have questions, and absolutely they have a very matter-of-fact understanding. That's how they process. They're quite young then too. But it's interesting, the flip side of that, and that can be painful for parents too, but yeah. I think you've got to suck it up for your kids, and you've got to do that. You've got to have straight honest. The worst is to do it, to ferry it up and say, oh, they've gone to a holiday home in the clouds or something. You know, I think that's the worst scenario, because I don't think they'll ever get really a chance to properly grasp it. So very much honesty. You've just got to deal with that and give them the honest truth and help them to get a realistic perspective.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. This is Just Saying with Erica, Aaron, Colette and Katrina. And we're tackling today the issue of grief and loss in a family, and particularly how do we help kids through it. Now, Colette, there are definite stages of grief, aren't there?
So we always talk about these stages of grief and loss. So we go through the shock stage. So that's your initial almost paralysis where you just can't kind of believe it, and you feel numb in that stage. Then you have the denial phase where you kind of try and pretend that it hasn't happened, an anger phase, a bargaining stage where people often bargain with God in a way, and they say, I will be a better person. I promise to, you know, learn to tie my shoelaces as a child if you bring mommy back or the pet back. Then the depression stage, and, you know, we can't just say, oh, get over it. That is one of the stages. The testing stage, where you're almost trying to find a realistic solution for what's happened, and then the final acceptance stage. Now, bearing in mind, you don't go through all those stages neatly. You don't just go through them over 1 year or 1 month. Sometimes, though, you'll go through a few of those stages in 1 day and then come back to it. But slowly through over the year or years, you will move to all those stages and you will come to the acceptance more and more. So those are the kind of stages we look at when we look at grief.
Katrina, could you recognize those stages, particularly when with the dog or any of the situations in your home?
I think I got stuck in the anger stage with the miscarriage. Absolutely. I thought, this is not fair.
Followed by bargaining.
And I think with the acceptance, I think, you know, you don't necessarily reach it and then you're there forever. You can still revert back to feeling other things like depression or whatever. But definitely, I think now I'm probably at the acceptance stage. I think it's helpful to know the stages. So that when they happen, you're not sort of so surprised by it.
And anything like that can almost normalize, I guess, how you're feeling. You go, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm actually in this particular stage. I will get to acceptance.
And just be in that moment. Allow yourself to be angry. It's not wrong to feel angry because something has been taken away out of your life. So it's okay to allow the children or your mom or whoever to feel angry. I think people do different things when they experience grief and loss. I'm a doer type of person. So I had someone that I love dearly go through breast cancer. And so for me, it was trying to make up lists in my head of, okay, so what should I do now? How should I help? And I got into the kind of doing mode. Some people will just immediately get into the slump and private mode where they will withdraw from others. So people do experience things differently. So being careful not to force your way of grieving onto somebody else.
Absolutely. And Aaron, if it's not too personal, when your mother passed away, you obviously had to go through your own stuff. But you said, you know, you have to suck it up for the kids. How did that affect the family as a whole? Like,
all good, because we're all being honest about it. I think we need to try and shut it away and walk it away. It doesn't help anybody. So I think, which I think is the same kind of thing coming out here. You've just got to realize you're going to go through all this stuff, but also that you've got to be. I think you just have to be real. It just comes down to that.
I agree.
As it is,
agree with in our family over Christmas time, we nearly lost our dog. She did survive. She was paralyzed from the back down, like the back legs, and the vets basically said, "Come and say goodbye." We took the kids down, and watching the understanding come across Lily's face of "I'm never going to see my pet again," she looked at me and she said, "Do you mean dead?" And I said, yes, she will die this weekend. Now, as God would have it, she survived that weekend. And after we saw her, she started walking the next day. It was a little bit of a miracle. But just that understanding, and I agree with the being real. And Katrina, obviously, you couldn't deny what had happened in your house. It had happened.
No, and we were very fortunate, which doesn't often happen with pets, that we actually saw him dying, in a sense. Like, we actually could We patted him. He had his little thing in, and then he just slipped away, which a lot of people don't get to do that with their dogs. But also, I was going to mention some resources I found helpful was there's a series of books by Tracy Maroney, which are published by Five Mile Press, which are called When I'm Feeling. So we bought the When I'm Feeling Sad book, and I found that quite helpful to kind of as a bit of a tool to help my daughter identify that it was normal to feel sad and that was okay.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for today, guys. This is, very, very helpful. And as always, we might put that link up on our Hope Mornings Facebook page of those books, because any kind of resources, Colette, like that can help get through this stage are obviously well worth
investigating. Yeah, I agree. And if I can just finally say, I think parents need to remember that you need to really listen to your child. Go through what they are feeling, and you know, try and get them to express how they are experiencing it. Don't assume you know how they're feeling. Spend time with them, talk, listen, lots of cuddles, read stories. Allow them still to have fun, because I think children will feel guilty if they're having fun and laughing, and say to them, that's okay. You don't have to feel sad all of the time.
Yep.
So just talking through being a model to your child of what grieving looks like.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.